Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 2nd of November, recording at 9:51 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were predictably hit hard by Wall Street's weakness on Friday, but, and this is an important but, China reversed its decline and showed a gain of over 2% on the day. More on that later. The European stock markets were mixed down slightly earlier on in the day, but picked up when Wall Street rallied. I think the Dow at one stage was up over 140 points, but then it lost the whole thing, but then regained a good chunk of it towards the end of the day. But up 76 points on the Dow. That's a long way off the 250 points it lost on Friday, but it is steadier action. And long-dated government bond prices sort of seesawed a little bit with the Dow ending down slightly for the most part. That's in Europe and North America. Now, elsewhere, the dollar has slipped a little bit here today. The euro rallied back up to 147.75, but that's nearly 75 pips off the high that it had seen earlier in the day when the Dow was stronger. Gold was stronger here again today after that impressive close, almost unchanged on Friday despite the Dow's decline. And currently gold bullion is just under $1,060. Platinum and silver and palladium all rallying a bit. And that's the main story. I see the soybeans. Soybeans had a good late run, up 19.5 here today. I see corn was also up, so that grain and bean sector looks strong. Crude oil up a dollar, getting back up to 78. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, we are, I think, quite clearly in a reaction stroke corrective phase. Now, this is all a much earned, well-earned, I should say, breather by global stock markets, which had run up so strongly and consistently that they'd become quite overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages, best seen on the weekly charts. Now, we've commented on that repeatedly, and that type of extension, overextension relative to the mean represented by the 200-day, is unsustainable and eventually results in a mean reversion, which will take place in the form of either a sharp pullback or a moderate pullback and ranging phase, or just a lengthy sideways ranging phase. And you'll get some of both this time around. There is a template of a sharper correction, which China demonstrated, as we've mentioned over and over again. And I will continue to emphasize it because, one, we do regard China as being a template because it's got the best growth of any economy in the world. It's an increasingly important economic power and also market power. And therefore, it's going to have an increasing influence. And leaders tend to lead both ways, as we often mention, and if the leaders tend to be among the more important countries in terms of size, then they merit monitoring. So I think, again, as I say, China is a template for what the type of mean reversion, not necessarily the shape of that mean reversion, that some other countries are likely to see. For instance, one of the more overextended markets was Indonesia, but that's just been moving sideways while the moving average continues to rise upwards. A number of other stock markets show patterns similar to that. Sweden's another one. As some of the weaker markets, and they've been some of the more troubled Eastern European stock markets, for instance, have seen sharper pullbacks towards rising 200-day moving averages. So you'll get a variety of these patterns, but the bottom line is that we are still in this reaction, what I described as this reaction slash correction, or correction being a somewhat larger than a reaction, a pause. And this is healthy overall. It blows the froth off markets generally. It enables central bankers to relax a bit in terms of all the bubble talk. I mean, there's always lots of bubble talk going on. I mean, a cynic's definition of a bubble would be a market that's going up that the commentator is not participating in. But I don't think there are any serious bubbles, but people will always be talking about them or worrying about them. Indeed, we do as well. The bubble that would concern me most, as you know, would be an upward spike in the price of oil. It's certainly going to happen at some stage, but we don't have that at the moment. But again, in these active market conditions, we need to monitor things quite closely. So my hunch here is that stock markets will give us a little bit more of the same. They're not belting down on consecutive days as you get in a bear market phase. You'll get some downward dynamics because people are taking some profits and some shorts are moving in. And sentiment will almost certainly become more cautious to pessimistic in line with further reactions where they occur. And that will probably be a contrary indicator. And I think when you have stock markets where the leaders, or stock market conditions where the leaders only bottomed out just over a year ago, and where the laggards, and there were a lot of laggards in almost all the Western stock markets, and didn't bottom out until, or didn't actually hit their actual lows until March, we're still in the early stages of this overall upward stock market cycle. That doesn't mean that we'll get a continuation of the same rate of advance that we saw, for instance, from March to September, or from mid-July to September. That was unsustainably fast. But a pause at this stage of the cycle, I think, is, I would classify as a healthy correction. And it would create another buying opportunity. And indeed, I would be tempted to put a small amount of excess cash that's accumulating through dividends and some ISA top-ups in some of my long-term investment funds. I would put that to work in the event of a little bit more of a pullback. Now, moving on to government bond prices. These are range bound. No need to say a lot here at this stage, except if you think that the global economy is going to recover rather than drop back down into a longer recession. And that's my view, that the former is my view, that the global economy will continue to cover in an uneven fashion. I think we'll have a good quarter, in the fourth quarter of this year and the first quarter of next year. A flattering quarter in the sense that we'll be looking at year-on-year statistics compared and comparing the performance with the meltdown quarters of last year and the beginning of this year. So that'll be a flattering comparison. People will continue to agonize on a daily basis about whether there will be any oomph in the global economy once the quantitative easing ends. And my view is that as long as monetary conditions are reasonably accommodative, that the action will be good in fuller money themes more often than not. That's Asian emerging markets and resources markets, led by Asian emerging markets and resources markets. We also like technology as a cyclical theme. The other two are secular themes in our view. And I think it will be a generally benign environment for stock markets. Now, against that background, long-dated government bonds will eventually range higher. While they remain just range-bound, moving sideways, then that's no problem for central banks or the stock market cycle. So currently, we have bond prices, bond yields range-bound, and it looks like that may continue for a little longer. But when they do start to push strongly higher, we'll need to be concerned. No need to worry about it until we see some evidence that that's beginning to take place. In currencies, and I think we will see further weakness in the dollar overall, but we're getting a little bit of jawboning, as you know. Seen that in the last month, to where central banks try to slow or even reverse the strength of their currencies against the greenback. And you get periodic short covering in the U.S. dollar. But I can't see the U.S. dollar really rallying strongly unless I'm way underestimating the downside risk in global stock markets. And as you know, I'm not looking for anything more than mean reversion corrections of 10 to 15% probably at the outside for developed country stock markets, and maybe a little more for some of the emerging markets. And some of the emerging markets will see smaller corrections because they remain very fashionable. They're probably resources producers. Now, Indonesia being a candidate. Now, precious metals. I think Friday was very interesting because a weakness of gold is that it was really only moving upwards when the U.S. dollar was under pressure, and also when stock markets were stronger. And every time we saw Wall Street dip a little bit, gold would sell off. Well, these relationships become knee-jerk for a while. They usually start with a reason, and the reason is clear enough. And I've mentioned it before, but basically, if central banks are injecting a huge amount of money into the global economy, as they certainly have, that will be a tide that lifts all boats. And when investors don't have to invest that money in stock markets and commodities, but some of it will find its way into those markets until investors become a little bit nervous, and then they pull some of it out. So those boats will tend to rise together and also fall back together. But sooner or later, if we're going to get a really good move in gold, for instance, and remember, gold is now 2 months out of its long consolidation pattern. That 18, remember those 18-month consolidation patterns that I've written about on so many occasions that produced the important upside breakouts in September 2004 and also September 2007, and were on schedule following the breakout in September 2009. But to get another move of $300 or more on the upside, taking gold up to, say, $1,300 or more, before the end of the first quarter of next year, we would need to see gold appreciating in all currencies. And that's something it hasn't been doing, but it is pretty steady against most of these currencies. And Friday's action struck me as quite important, potentially. And that it was just one day, and we'll need to see more action of that type. But, you know, Dow down 250 points, gold sold off early in the day, but then started to recover, and I think ended down $1.40. So it was almost unchanged on the day. And that's impressive. That's impressive action. So, again, this precious metal sector, I can't really fault it technically, except that it's always a little bit more choppy or takes more time than I personally would like. I say that with a bit of wry smile here, because of course the market doesn't give a hoot about what I want. But I'm speaking from the perspective of someone who holds some leveraged futures positions in those markets, and so every little move up or down, you know, is emotionally charged. So, but to get back to the main point, technically, these markets look healthy. I'm talking about these precious metal markets. They're supported by quite a lot of underlying trading, and they show the uptrend sequence of higher reaction lows. As long as we see higher reaction lows for these precious metals, I'd give the upside the benefit of the doubt. Industrial metals are more volatile, they're more thinly traded, and they're also run by that to a considerable extent, not entirely, but to a considerable extent by the London Metal Exchange. It's kind of an arcane system and a bit of a private club, and we do see more volatility, I think, as a consequence in those markets. But look at the weekly charts. They all show base formations underneath today's levels, and they're moving up out of trading ranges. They consolidate and break upwards again, and I think that's clear for all of them. We have commonality, in other words, and I do expect them to be moving higher. Ditto crude oil, although a consolidation was certainly due following that $10-$11 sprint up over $80. That merits another consolidation, but the path of least resistance is upwards, and I think for most soft commodities this is true as well. Now, some of you who have positions in the commodity markets, as I do, will, of course, be delighted to see an overall upward bias. The trade-off on this, though, is the stronger the commodity markets are, the more central banks are going to worry about inflationary pressures. And the more they worry about inflationary pressures, the more likely they are to remove liquidity. That's not going to happen overnight, but I do expect it to happen over the next 12 to 18 months. And whether they remove enough liquidity to cause these markets to top out in their bull runs remains to be seen, or it might just slow them or make them more choppy. But I think that will happen. Conversely, if we had a really dull time and crude oil, for instance, ranged sideways, centered on $75 for the next 12 months, I think that would be a more bullish environment for stock markets generally, because there would be less talk and less worry about a change in monetary policy. And I think that's about it here. I don't want to run on too far. I'm in this audio. It's late enough as it is. So, all the very best to all of you, except to say I'm away in the early evenings tomorrow and on Wednesday, so Owen will be doing the audios for the next 2 days, and then I will be back for Thursday and Friday. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.